morning is from the Gospel of John. We're looking at the first chapter. We'll be reading verse 1 and then skipping down to verses 10 through 13. If you'd like to follow along in the Sanctuary Bible, you can find this on page 1049. And if you do not own a Bible, don't have a Bible at your home, we want to encourage you to take that Bible from the sanctuary that you now hold in your hands. It is yours to keep. Believe strongly in the Word of God here, and this Word of God to be able to give us all that we need for godliness and life. We want you to be able to engage in it and to have a copy of your own. So please take that as our gift to you. So the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 10, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. This is His word.
Today being the first Sunday in Advent and also a communion Sunday, there's hardly a more appropriate passage of Scripture or chapter of the Bible to focus on than John chapter 1. Now, as the passage was read, the first three words of the first verse, I'm sure, have a familiar ring to them. They're identical, in fact, to the first three words of the Bible itself, found back in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But though both of these verses have these same three words, "in the beginning," we're not talking about the same time at all. In Genesis, "in the beginning" refers to the time when God began to create the heavens and the earth. That is, the universe as we know it. There was a specific point in space and time when God began to do this work, though the Bible assigns no particular date to it. But the first verse of John chapter 1, "in the beginning," has an entirely different meaning than what it has in Genesis 1. It doesn't refer to a specific point in time. Here in John chapter 1, verse 1, "in the beginning" really means before time. It's saying before anything, before the creation of heavens and earth, before the creation of the angelic beings, before anything was made or anything came into existence, there was the Word. It's not a concept that the human mind can easily grasp. In fact, I'm not sure that any human mind can fully grasp it. Human experience revolves around beginnings and endings, around starts and finishes. The sun rises, and then the sun sets. The seasons begin, and then the seasons end. A person is born, and eventually the person dies. We know from historical records that things have been beginning and ending long before you and I came on the scene. Recorded history extends back about 6,000 years. Some would argue that there was no history prior to this because no humans were on the earth prior to this. Others argue that there's no record simply of civilizations that came before that time. Some claim that humans have been on the earth for a million years. But it's interesting that if that's the case, then for 994,000 of those years, there's no historical record of any civilization at all. That's not to say that none existed, just to say that there's no evidence that they did. Of course, something existed long before man came into being. Let's get some perspective, hopefully, if we can. There have been about 3 million minutes since 9/11, back in 2001. There's been about a billion minutes since Jesus walked on the earth. And there's been about 3 billion minutes since recorded history began. 3 billion minutes. I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you or not a lot. But when you consider that the national debt is $8.6 trillion, then maybe it doesn't sound like all that long. But most people can grasp 3 billion minutes. They can kind of get their mind around that length of time, 6,000 years. But what about 6 million years, or 6 billion years, or 6 trillion years? 6 trillion is really too long of a period of time ago for any human mind to really comprehend, even if you're strong in math. But if we went back in time 6 trillion years, the Word would already be there. The Word already existed. It's very difficult to comprehend something that's eternal, something that has absolutely no beginning, no matter how far back you go. In the beginning, in John chapter 1, really means, in essence, no beginning, without beginning. It means before anything, before even time itself, the Word already existed. Now, it may help a little bit if we recognize that something must have always existed. Because if something did not always exist, then we had something come from nothing. I hope that makes sense to you. I find it much more believable that something is responsible for everything else rather than nothing being responsible for everything else. You see, if God exists, then it would only make sense that God has always existed. If not, then it would mean that there was a time in the past when God came into existence. Now, think for a moment, what would have caused God to come into existence? Right, it's a problem. It's much more likely that God existed first and brought everything else into existence, as opposed to nothing existing first and bringing everything else, including itself and God, into existence. If something has always existed, then the only question that remains is whether that thing is non-living matter or whether it's a living being. If I was a betting man, I would bet that a living being brought all living and non-living things into existence, rather than non-living matter bringing all living and non-living things into existence. The point of John chapter 1, verse 1, is that before anything even existed, the Word existed. So long ago that no human mind can even comprehend it. We just can't get our finite minds around it. But we're told in the same verse that not only has the Word existed forever, but that the Word was with God, which tells us that the Word must be distinct from God. That is, the Word and God Himself are not only both eternal, but they are two distinct beings. If not, then the Word could not be with God. It wouldn't make any sense. And we see, thirdly, that the Word was God. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a bit of a contradiction. We can see how the Word and God could both be eternal, and we can see how the Word could be with God. But how can the Word be God? Can only mean that the Word and God are the same in essence, yet not the same individuals, not the same beings. The nature of the triune God, to be fair, is very difficult to comprehend. But essentially it means that in the nature of the one true God, there are three eternally existing beings who have existed in fellowship with each other forever. That's essentially what the scriptures teach about the nature of God. Now, God is infinite and we are finite. So it should come as no surprise to any of us that it is beyond comprehension, at least full comprehension. It should be. What is declared in the first verse of John 1 is that the Word has always existed. That's the first point. There has never been a time, no matter how far back into the past you go, when the Word did not exist. 100,000 trillion years ago, the Word was still there. And we see that the Word was with God from the beginning, which tells us that the Word is distinct from God. And we see that the Word was God, which tells us that the Word possesses the full essence of God, yet is distinct from God. Of course, we know that the rest of the chapter of John 1 tells us that the Word of God is simply another name for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we also see in verse 3 that the Word, through the Word, all things were made that have been made. Nothing that has been made was made apart from the Word. And verse 10 declares that though Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world did not recognize him as its creator. In verse 11, it says that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In other words, the world that Jesus created did not recognize him as its creator. And the people of the same, according to the flesh, ethnic Jewish roots did not receive him. But if you look at verse 12, there's some great news, because it says that all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, to them were given the right to become children of God. Even though the world that was made by Jesus did not recognize who he is, and though the Jews of Israel did not receive Jesus as their true Messiah, anyone who does recognize him and does receive him, such people become the children of God through spiritual birth. And just so no one misunderstands what the nature of this birth is, look at verse 13. It explains that such children are born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but they are born of God. A person does not become a Christian because they inherit it through some special bloodline, nor, as in the case of physical birth, because of a decision to procreate. No, a person is born of God by the will of God, not like a physical birth, because it's not physical. Not like a natural birth, because it's not natural. It's supernatural. This is what Christmas is really about spiritual birth made possible because the Word of God became man. We just sung about it a few minutes ago. The Word was made flesh. And that's really what we come to the Lord's table to celebrate as well. That the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, was born into the human family. He died on the cross. He died on the cross as our substitute, so we wouldn't have to. And it says that by trusting him, by receiving him, we can be given life. That's great news. It's the news of Christmas. And it's really the news of communion. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, though these opening words of the Gospel of John are impossible for us to fully comprehend because they are really words of infinity and eternity, we understand what they declare. They declare that the Word of God was both with God and God from all eternity. And the Word of God became one of us, who was born as a human being, who lived a sinless life, who went to the cross and died in our place, was raised from the dead, and forgiveness and life and redemption is offered to all who will believe that and receive Jesus as Savior. We know, Lord, that's the message of Christmas, that a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. And we know that's the message at the communion table, that Jesus has died for us. We can have life through Him, and it's that we come to celebrate together.